welcome back to our show. Stan Gordon is our guest. He's on the line from Pennsylvania. He has a book called Really Mysterious Pennsylvania. And Stan's been investigating UFOs and other strange happenings for 5 decades. Stan, you probably received, what, 2,500 reports or more over this time? Maybe 5,000. Who knows?
Oh, I'll be honest with you. My file here goes back from the 1800s up to the present day. And, you know, over the years, I had founded 3 volunteer research groups to investigate these reports. And the first group was founded in 1970. It was called the Westmoreland County UFO Study Group. And it was my determination at that time. See, in 1969, I actually set up my own UFO hotline. So I've been taking calls from the public basically for many, many years, which I still do today. And between email and phone calls, I still get a lot of reports coming in here. But back in those days, when I first started back in 1969, and I began to make contact with local police and news media about my interest, well, the phone calls coming in was more than I could handle. And calls were coming in day and night, and I realized I couldn't handle this on my own, that I needed other research people to help with the investigations. And I was looking for research people, scientists, engineers, technicians, all kind of people who could have the proper background to analyze these type of reports. So that's what I set out to do. And with my electronics background, we set up a very elaborate radio communication center in my home. And I set up a two-way radio system so we could radio dispatch some of the investigators in certain areas to the scene of the events while it was ongoing. And we did that. And we became very active. We were getting lots and lots of reports. By 1975, we were getting so many reports, not just locally, but throughout the state of Pennsylvania, that we changed the name of the group to the Pennsylvania Center for UFO Research. And then in 1981, I founded another group called PASU, the Pennsylvania Association for the Study of the Unexplained, which served as a statewide clearinghouse for reports of all kinds of phenomena. And that group stayed active until 1993. And since that time, I've been working as an independent researcher. But I can't even tell you how many. I have many, many, many thousands of cases on record here of all kind of phenomena. It's just amazing.
Are you still using that telephone hotline?
Oh, yes.
You want to give the number?
Well, the number people can call to report a sighting, or, in fact, if they're interested in ordering the book, they can either call the phone number, which is 724-838-7768, or they can go to my website, which is stangordon.info, I-N-F-O, and they can also order the book directly through the website. To stress, I deal mainly in Pennsylvania reports. I do get calls from other areas, and generally I try to make them aware of other organizations in their area can probably help them out, but I deal mainly in Pennsylvania reports.
Right.
Or if anybody has any Kecksburg information, I'd be glad to talk to them as well.
Are they still having that annual celebration or event at Kecksburg every year?
Yeah, there'll be another Kecksburg UFO Festival coming up again this year. Old-fashioned days in Kecksburg UFO Festival, and if you give me a second here, I can probably get you a date for it, too. As we're talking, I'll try to look that up.
By the way, Stan, exactly where in Pennsylvania are you? I mean, Pennsylvania is a big state.
I'm about 30 miles southeast of Pittsburgh, and Kecksburg is about 40 miles away.
So you really haven't moved very far from when you were a kid.
Well, I'm the same location. I've always lived in the town of Greensburg, which is the county seat of Westmoreland County.
Mm-hmm. Small town like that, I guess everybody knows you're the UFO guy.
Pretty much. It seems to be that way. And I get a lot of calls, a lot of inquiries, and people always stop and ask me questions about what people are seeing around here.
Stan, you've been doing it a long time. Have you ever personally seen a UFO, I mean in person, yourself?
All the years, going on 51 years that I've been doing this, I have never seen a UFO personally. I've never had a Bigfoot encounter. But I've seen lots of evidence over the years out on a lot of the investigations, especially with a lot of the Bigfoot reports. And so I'm convinced there's something out there, but I sure don't have the answers. By the way, the 2010 Kecksburg Old Fashioned Days and UFO Festival is scheduled for September 18th and 19th.
Well, that's really a nice time of year for Pennsylvania.
Yes, and if you go to my website, there is a link to the Kecksburg Fire Department website as well.
So the fire department is carrying it on and doing it every year
they
now?
They didn't until more recent years. I mean, there's, you know, they've always been very, very quiet about it. It's always been the little town really didn't really make a light out of this. It's not like Roswell, I can tell you. But in more recent years, there's more and more interest in the story. And the fire department now have a little gift shop where they have different types of memorabilia they sell. And, of course, the mock-up of the object, which was made for the Unsolved Mystery Show in 1990, is on a permanent display out there at Kecksburg behind the fire station. So they do get quite a lot of visitors starting to come in from around the country who pass through the area.
You know, Stan, Pennsylvania seems to have lots of UFO sightings. Talked to John Ventry, the MUFON guy for Pennsylvania. He's always sending me a report or two from Pennsylvania. A lot of things happening there.
Right, and you got to remember now that historically there's always been a lot of reports, but also that 1969 is when I set up my UFO hotline. And by 1970, when we had my research group out there, and as word got out and we began to get a lot of recognition, and across the state of Pennsylvania, there was a lot of people that began to know about our group in the 70s, especially because it had a major wave of UFO and Bigfoot events that happened in 1973 and 74, that, you know, there was not that many places in the country where you had a centralized place back then to report sightings. So for many, many years, this was one of the few states that people had a place that they can actually report something to. So I think that probably had a lot of reason why we heard of a lot more activity here than a lot of other areas, because there was a place you could report sightings.
Stan, you're the guy. You're responsible.
Well, I guess in some ways I am.
Okay, the big question, UFOs and Bigfoot. Is there a connection, Stan? What do you think?
Well, and it's an interesting theory, and it may be more than a theory because of some of the cases we had. And, I mean, this is a very, very interesting aspect when you look into these phenomena. I've worked on two books for quite a while. The first book, as we just mentioned, just came out, Really Mysterious Pennsylvania. But I've been working on a second book, and I hope to have that out in the next few months. It's going to be called Silent Invasion, the Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot Casebook. And it's going to focus on this massive wave of strange events that happened in 1973 and 1974. And I can tell you, if I had not lived through that period of time, it would be very hard for me to believe such things could have happened. But it was an amazing experience to go through and live and be involved in what happened, especially in the summer of 1973. But you know, as you recall, Jerry, the United States had a major wave of UFO activity in the fall of 1973. UFOs were making the headlines in newspapers, on radio and TV shows for weeks and weeks. But in Pennsylvania, January 1st, 1973, we had the first report, and it continued all year long. And there were hundreds of reports of all kind of UFO activity going on all across the state of Pennsylvania. And, I mean, there were, you know, car chases and alleged landings. And one case was interesting where a car was allegedly lifted off the road and turned around the opposite direction by a UFO. And just so many very close-range UFO encounters reported during that time. So all the UFO activity was quite interesting and quite amazing what was going on.
Stan, you helped us with a show about UFOs and Bigfoot, and it was very interesting. People can find that here on the website. We have a link to it. I've come to the conclusion maybe there's more than one kind of Sasquatch.
Right, and there's always been those theories, but, you know, I've talked about it, and I've thought about all those events in 73, and while many of those creatures reported were very similar to your typical Bigfoot, I mean, there were some cases where there were some variations in them, but again, even some reports around the country, around the world, there were some variations in them as well.
Right.
Very typical. I mean, they're bipedal, they have very long arms. Sometimes there's that strong odor like rotten egg sulfur or dead meat, but not in all cases. In some cases, you have people reporting luminous eyes, but not in all cases. And, you know, what exactly we're dealing with, who knows? But, you know, as the skeptics have always said, if all these sightings are going on, why is there not more physical evidence, which I still have to ask that myself? I mean, while we found a lot of secondary evidence, you know, with tracks and other traces in some cases around some of the events, and we saw the animal reactions, which there was no way that could have been fabricated. There's questions to us, why have nobody ever come up with a body? Hit one with a car, found a dead one in the woods. And that still makes one wonder if there may be more to this than meets the eye.
I guess this is true, but no one's ever found a Bigfoot body.
That's correct. Right.
I mean, all animals and even humans have accidents. Cars run over deers, for instance.
But we had some very strange cases again during that wave of 73, which I don't know if we have time to talk about tonight. But a lot of that will be coming up in the second book.
Right. Right.
Now, with no trace of these things, but people seeing them all the time, have you ever considered that perhaps they're interdimensional?
And some of the cases we had suggested for a better term, it seemed as though we were dealing with phenomena that had a physical and a non-physical aspect to it. I mean, for example, we had cases where the ground conditions were right, that there should have been a whole trail of footprints, which in some cases they just suddenly stopped and vanished, when there should have been more tracks, for example.
Kind of similar to the skinwalker legends out in the West.
Exactly. And we had one really well-documented case in February of 1974, and just very briefly, we're up in the mountains, again, Fayette County, a woman who lived there all her life in the woods, knew animals well. She heard this commotion on her porch this one evening. There had been some wild dogs going through there. She figured the dogs were back. She loads her shotgun. She's going to open up the porch door, go outside, fire over the heads, and scare the dogs away. So she loads her shotgun, opens the door, goes out on the porch, and just right there, directly in front of her, just a few feet away, no dogs, here's this huge hair-covered creature with his arms up over its head. And I remember her saying to me, it was a great big hairy ape. Never mentioned the word Bigfoot. What did she do when she saw this thing? She fired right into it with her shotgun. She couldn't possibly have missed at that range. She said there was a bright flash of light, like from a flash from a camera. The creature vanished right in front of her eyes. Moments later, she got a phone call because her relatives live about 100 feet away. They heard the shot. She told them what happened. Her son-in-law grabs his .45, makes his way up towards her house. He said he was surrounded by what he said like four or five hairy people with like eyes, with glowing eyes of fire, like coals of fire. He runs into the house, they look out the window, and hovering over the tree at the same time is this large object, he said like a big Christmas ornament with different lights flashing on at the same time. So they call the state police, and back at that time, you might recall, there was a national trucker strike, there was gas rationing going on, there was violence on the roadways, so you had the state police and the National Guard patrolling together here in Pennsylvania. So both the state police and the National Guard responded to this event. And very interesting case because the troopers told me about seeing the various animals on that farm, especially vicious dogs, not moving, paralyzed, wouldn't respond. They couldn't believe how these animals were reacting. Something strange had indeed happened at that site.
Stan, are we sure we're dealing with, animals when we talk about Bigfoot? We've done shows with people who insist that they're subhuman or a different type of human, maybe a missing link or something. I mean, Pennsylvania is pretty populated, but at the same time, it has lots of open country and woods and mountains.
Oh, we have a tremendous amount of woods and mountains, and around here there's a lot of places for something to hide. And again, there's all kind of theories on this. I mean, whatever these creatures are, we have seen over the years, they're curious of humans. I mean, we've had some cases where they approach fairly closely, but generally when they're seen, they generally take off in the opposite direction. But
do they make noises?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a number of typical sounds, and there have been some recordings made of some of the sounds.
Yeah, we have some of those.
Yeah, I mean, one's like a woman in pain screaming, others described like a baby crying, others like a high-pitched bird whistle. But we also had cases where they seemed to be able to mimic other sounds, including human sounds. Like one case we had where a woman was going out to her vehicle, and the creature was standing just a few feet away from her. She thought it was a big tree there, and the thing was standing there, and she screamed when she saw it, and the thing basically screamed back at her the same way.
In your Bigfoot investigations here in Pennsylvania, Stan, no one has ever reported that they were hurt by Bigfoot, were they?
there have been a few reports we've heard about, nothing that I can confirm. Consistent where they seem to be harmful, they seem to be curious of humans.
Yeah, they seem to scare the hell out of people, but I don't even think they mean to do that.
I mean, the emotional reaction to people, I mean, people today, who I'm still in touch with, had encounters many, many years ago. I mean, there's people today who still tell me how their lives were completely changed by seeing those things. Because most people would never believe it, so they had their own experience.
Just a lot we don't know about it. I mean, even if we accepted that they, let's say the far-out term, that they're interdimensional, and they must not be shapeshifters, or otherwise they wouldn't come out as a beast. They'd come out as a beautiful woman or something.
That's it. I guess we could theorize on that for a long time.
In your investigation, Stan, have you ever felt you were in danger?
I never thought I was in danger. I have had the feeling that in a couple instances when we were out investigating sightings on particularly some farms in 1973 that we were very close to them. I mean, you could see how the animals were reacting. I mean, one particular night when the people had called us, this thing had just been there in their barn, there were some footprints there, and the animals weren't responding normally, and we heard something very heavy moving very fast, far in front of us, ahead of us, through the fields, and we took off after it in the dark, but whatever it was, we never were able to catch up to it.
You were chasing it. It wasn't chasing you.
Correct. But whatever it was, we never were able to catch up to it, making very strange. Another sound that has been typically reported is like somebody with asthma, like it's gasping for air, very, very loud gasping sounds. And that's something we were hearing that night. As this thing was running ahead of us, and that thing has been reported from a lot of different people.
So, folks, if you're out in the woods and all of a sudden you hear this sort of breathing, beware. Just having a little fun, Stan. Let's give the name of the book again.
Yes, people can order the book directly on my website, which is Stan Gordon, GORDON.info, INFO. We can send them an autographed copy of the book directly out. Or they can call 724-838-7768. We can also order the book information on the phone as well. They can also order a copy of my award-winning DVD on Kexburg called Kexburg, The Untold Story, which has never been on TV. But if you want to know a lot of very detailed information on that case, then you can get a copy through my website as well.
Before we go, are you investigating something right now, either UFOs or Bigfoot?
Yeah, there's been some reports. I'm waiting for some other reports. There have been some incidents that have happened just in the last week, and there have been some Bigfoot, at least one Bigfoot incident that is being followed up over in Fayette County. It happened within the last week.
Come on, Stan, you got to tell me something about it.
Eric Altman over at the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, which we keep in touch quite a bit, he's following up on that. Because initially, I guess the report he got was that somebody had heard some very unusual sounds, had looked out the window to see this large hairy creature, and I don't have much more on that right now. But then I also had a report 2 days later from another area about 15 miles away where people had reported hearing this very, very strange sound, an animal sound unlike anything they'd ever heard before living in the country for many years. Have been moving around a perimeter during the early morning hours, and kind of interesting that we had a Bigfoot sighting report in the same area just a few months ago from somebody else.
Well, evidently the Bigfoot, at least in Pennsylvania, is not a meat eater. I mean, you don't find any half-eaten carcasses laying around, do you?
We generally have heard reports of them eating, like apples, corn, berries, but there have been reports of them carrying deer over their shoulder, and there is a possibility that they occasionally might, eat something along that line, but we can't verify that.
Stan, thanks very much for talking to us, and it's always a joy having you on the air, and please let us know when that next book is coming out.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much, Jerry. Have a good evening.
Our web producer is Jane Swartley. I'm Jerry Pippin. Thanks for listening. Cheers.